Welcome to your podcast. This is the third episode of your podcast. Mike, welcome to your podcast.
Well, welcome to your podcast too, Todd. Hey, and third time's a charm.
That's right. And for the podcasters out there, we're talking about your podcast. So now that we've talked about your podcast way too many times and trying to make a pun that probably didn't go over as well as I thought it would, welcome to the show. Well, we're starting to gain a little bit of fan base, Mike.
Yeah, we even got a listener question and a few comments. It's been great.
Yeah, I think when I started doing my podcast back in 2004, I think it was like maybe 10 or 12 episodes before I actually received my first email comment. So we're doing great.
Yeah, doing all right. By the way, Saturday is my 12th year anniversary in podcasting.
Wow.
Believe 12. It or not.
Amazing. And I'm on the March the 13th. So, happy anniversary for your show or for you.
Yep, thank you. And I wish I could find that first episode, but it's been lost to the bit bucket.
You know, my first two shows, I had to actually put in the bit bucket because it had AC/DC and it had all kinds of stuff it shouldn't have in it.
Yeah, so, I probably had the same thing, but I think about my first 30 episodes are not findable anymore.
Right. But that kind of happens sometimes to brand new shows. You've gotten so excited and you're like, oh man, I'm gonna do this and that, and then later on you get swatted down by fellow podcasters, or you find out, oops, I shouldn't have played that Metallica song or something like that.
Yeah, no worries about me playing Metallica, but anyway, let's get on with the news.
Yeah, some big news. I mean, it just broke like moments before we launched the show here this morning about Apple announcing it has rebranded its iTunes podcast offering to Apple Podcast. And basically, this is encapsulating the podcast directory and the client podcast app that's available on the iPhone and the iPad. This is, don't get too excited yet, folks, because this is purely a branding change at this point. But it does make you go, what is Apple up to?
Yeah, I wonder. And I noticed that they left the logo the same, so it's the same little purple dude with the circles around him, but now called Apple Podcasts instead of iTunes Podcast Directory or whatever we were calling it. Right. So that'll be nice. So now it's going to be, in Apple, not in iTunes. I'm getting sort of tired of hearing the word iTunes anyway. So,
and they have a new Twitter account too. It's at Apple Podcast with an S. And what's kind of exciting here too is that it aligns it with, the rest of the Apple products. You got Apple Music, so now you're going to have Apple Podcasts. So it just kind of makes sense at this point. So any of you that there are some new marketing guidelines for any of you that do your own marketing on your website. Really, the biggest change is you're just going to have to change it from iTunes Podcast to Apple Podcast. So this is an interesting move. I've already had some people on some Slack channels saying this is great. So we'll see where this leads.
Yeah, maybe they'll get more involved in it and maybe add some new features and whatever for podcasters. Even though iTunes is not all of podcasting, it's the 800-pound gorilla.
One thing that someone had mentioned, they said, I saw an initial comment immediately was, oh, I hope this means that they're going to be able to allow us to sell or collect a subscription fee for our shows. And, that could come to pass. And the thing that you have to remember about exactly them doing that is you have to give them 30% or something like that. Right. Their cut's pretty big.
Yeah, if it's like anything else at Apple iTunes, if you're selling apps or music or whatever, they take their 30% right off the top, and I'm sure they would do the same on a subscription podcast.
It's true. but time will tell. Also, the pod father, Adam Curry, he's announced a very cool tool that I've been following, or not tool, a piece of hardware they're getting ready to launch that I've been following him for probably the last 18 months as he's gotten this thing ready to go. It's called the Podcast Producer. They've actually formed a new small company called Small Batch, and it's, you can find the their site at smallbatchaudio.com. You can follow the saga as we're, or as he is getting ready to launch this this new piece of hardware. Mike, you sounded pretty excited about it yourself. You want to talk a little bit about what they're producing?
Yeah, it's going to be a box that goes on your desktop, or you can set it underneath your laptop. It kind of looked like in the pictures. And by the way, the website, smallbatch.audio. It's got one of those weird TLDs. But basically, it's got a couple places to plug a couple mics into it. It's got, you know, all kinds of settings, but it's going to be doing, it'll do the gating. It'll do, compressor, limiter. It'll do, two microphones locally, but it also has one USB cable that sets up two audio devices on your machine, one for Skype or whatever other voice over IP, and another one for, just having it to interface to the computer. So it basically has two sound cards in one connection. That way you can do Skype recording right with this thing, which is, seems to be a big topic on all the help forums and whatnot, is, you know, how do you record Skype? Well, this solves that.
Yeah.
And the audio that Adam, if he's using the prototype on his show, if he's using that it's just impeccable audio quality.
And he basically says that, you know, all the audio gear that's out there today, let's face it, it is targeted for music. And the they're building this, the DSP, which is the digital signal processor that's going to be in this device. They're building this specifically to be for spoken word, which is exciting. This will be the really the first professional device, pro device. You know, there's definitely the little handheld recorders and that kind of stuff. But this is the something that they feel will far exceed anything that's out there. We'll see what happens with this. But they've also registered a trademark. That's pretty big for two things. One is obviously the Podcaster Pro name, and also they've got this room sensing service where basically through one click that they are going to be able to use a device to sample the room and preset the room settings based upon how much noise is in your room. So I have no idea how they're doing that, but I was trying to find the name. They named it something, the technology behind it. Excuse me, I almost sneezed on you there this morning. But anyway, I'm excited. It'll be a Kickstarter. Yeah. Probably the price is in, and the Kickstarter hasn't started yet. Probably around $500 is going to be the cost.
Yeah, so, but that's not too terrible. I mean, a Zoom H6, you know, goes for around that, and that's right. Kind of a, you know, studio in a box. Well, this is a much better studio in a box, and you'll still have to record off, you know, the machine itself doesn't record. You would do that either on your computer, and I'm assuming they're going to have a line out to put into a digital recorder if you want.
There is a line out.
Yeah, so it'll be, you know, it'll be useful, but you'll still have to record it on another device, either a computer or a outboard recorder. But I think it's going to be great because it's just going to simplify the whole thing. You plug a mic into it, you plug it into your computer, do a couple configurations, and you're done. Start recording.
Yeah. One thing too that you're going to be able to do with this is, one thing you should do, excuse me, you should go over to their website. Again, it's at smallbatch.audio. You can sign up for updates, and he sent out an update yesterday and going into quite some detail, much beyond what's on on the blog. So definitely sign up for the newsletter and you'll get updates on, you know, where they're at in the process and, you know, the whole scheme of things. Now, one thing that people don't realize about Adam, he's pretty techie. You know, he wrote the code for the first podcatcher. You know, he helped with the implementation on that. So you know, he's not just a, you know, not just a podfather of podcasting and having created the podcasting space, but he actually wrote the first code for the first podcatchers and he had a directory for a while and all that. So this doesn't...
He's also a ham radio operator.
He just
got that, I don't know, a few years ago, but in case any hams are listening, it's K5ACC. This is called
K5ACC. Also, the on the New Media Show over at newmediashow.com, Rod Brimley and I had Dan Franks on for 90 minutes talking about the upcoming podcast movement, Anaheim, August 23 through the 25th. Dan got us all caught up on the show. I'm going to tell you, if you're listening to this and you have not decided to go to podcast movement, it is time to get your tickets and get your hotel room. Prices probably have already, I think they went up yesterday a little bit. So they're incrementally going to increase in price over time now. So make sure that you, you get over to the Podcast Movement website and grab your tickets. Mike will share with you a promo code that you can use. But the main thing about the event is they really, because they're in a new venue, it's like replanning the event all over again. Because when you change venues from year to year, it's even harder to do the event because you got to figure out where to put the exhibitors and where to put the podcast reporting pavilions and all the stuff that people utilize at the event. And then he had 500 submissions for sessions and they picked like, I think he said it was a 60 was the total. So imagine having to go through that.
Yeah, it's amazing they, you know, how well they put that together considering that every time they do it, it's in a new place. It's, you know, I went to the one in Chicago last year and it was really nice how they had that set up. And it kind of reminded me of the good old days in California for the old, what was that? They changed the name of it every year, but the Podcast Expo.
This year it'll be just a little different. The exhibitor hall is going to be an actual hall, but they've done some things to assure that the vendors there will get traffic, which is good. So people won't just be hanging out in the hallway, which they probably do anyway. But I think it's going to be a great event. And I told Mackenzie, who's on the team at Blueberry, I said, make sure you get our hotel reservations in. It sounds to me like it's filling up fast, and I think tickets are selling fast. They're expecting 2,000 podcasters.
Oh, wow.
So how can they save some money, Mike?
Yeah, if you want to save 10% on whatever the price is at the time you go there, use the code Blueberry for 10% off, and that'll get you a little extra off. And like Todd said, the tickets are going fast, so get over to Podcast Movement. I think it's podcastmovement.com.
See, yes, that's correct.
Yeah, we'll have the link in the show notes, of course, over at powerpresspodcast.com.
Well, Mike, I've got three topics, and then we've got a question from a listener, so we'll see if we can get through these. My first two topics are, the first one's relatively easy to get through. If you are podcasting and you have your show over at blueberry.com, make sure that if you are interested in advertising deals, that you go through the three steps that we require to become an advertiser become an advertising ready podcast so that we can reach out to you quickly and get going. The two that we've been working on that are kind of unique. So it makes it even more difficult for us to find shows is the first one was a medical related podcast sponsor. And the second was a military related. So they only wanted medical or military related shows. So, you know, you look through the medical stack and there's, you know, not as many as you would think. And also on the military side, I was really surprised. We really had to dig to to find 20 good shows on the military. There is a, if you're a retired military or if you're active duty, there is a genre there that is a little thin. So if you're looking for a show topic and you've got the background, something to consider. Mike, you and I are, you know, we're both prior military, so we, you know, we probably could do a military show, but I don't know. I think to do a military show, you almost have to be still active duty to be in touch with everything going on, don't you?
Yeah, unless you're doing some sort of a history thing. I could bend everybody's ear about fighter planes or something, but it'd probably get boring after a few episodes.
One thing that we want to talk about a little bit is we're going to talk just a few minutes on RSS feeds again. And this is something that we have to sadly deal with once in a blue moon, and it doesn't come across too often. You know, we know we talked in the first episode about our the genesis of Blueberry and us wanting, you know, and there's actually a new podcast article out at powerpresspodcast.com talking about why we're so anal, I guess, for a better word, when it comes to having podcasters control their brand, their podcast, their, you know, everything in their stack, including their RSS feed. But sometimes when podcasters are getting started, they will look for the absolute cheapest deal on WordPress hosting that they can find. And or they get recommended to a service by a friend or maybe another podcaster who's got an affiliate code. And sometimes the plans that podcasters sign up for result in getting a WordPress site that, how should I say it, when it should have two or three or four, maybe not megs of RAM, may end up with like 256K of RAM to operate in. And what we end up with are slow RSS feeds and slow loading RSS feeds. And 9 out of 10 times, it comes from, number one, either the hosting provider not giving an individual site enough resources because it's maybe structured in a way that where he's got every site to really lock down, or just a horrible hosting provider. Mike, what is, you know, I know you're working with a guy right now that's got some challenges with a slow loading feed. Have you made progress with him?
A little bit. I mean, we optimized everything that we could, you know, within PowerPress and on his site, but it's, you know, his web provider, and who shall remain nameless, definitely is not fast. I mean, just they have either a bad connection to the internet or a slow connection to the internet, or he's throttled somehow. We can't really figure it out, but you want your RSS feed to load in about 5 seconds or less, and the quicker the better. And he's got 30 to 40 second load times on his RSS feed. And like I said, it's just terrible. You know, and he's, I think, only paying like $3 a month for hosting. Well, he's going to have to probably move to a different server. That's
and you can actually get good hosting for like $5 or $6 a month. You can get very good service for that. So it's not like this big stretch of money to be on a WordPress hosting site that does well. You know, and you know, this will play into the hands. I'm sure there'll be some of our competition that listen to your podcast, and they're going to say, "Well, even Todd and Raw, I mean, Todd and Mike were talking about someone else was coming to mind. Todd and Mike will have said sometimes they have podcasters, but again, it's rare."
Yeah, but I don't run into that. You know, maybe a couple times in a year. I mean, I've only run into it a few times.
Yeah, it's not often, and usually we can resolve it with something that's going on the site that they've done, something that, you know, some plugin that is being really crazy stupid, and that's always challenging. But and also he was on this real inexpensive hosting plan. He had like 30 plugins turned on.
Yeah, that's part of the problem, because each one of those plugins takes up some of that memory.
Right. And on my site, I run 17, and I try to keep that number down. I'm always going through there and say, do I need this plugin? Yes or no? So 30 was a huge, huge number. So anyway, we advocate this, but if you're going to be on a $3 hosting account, you may have problems. And it's just a simple fact. And we may be introducing some products later in the year that can help with that. But at this point, cheap doesn't always mean for the best experience for your podcasters. Also, I've got a topic here I want to talk about real quick about sequencing, especially if you're brand new to the show. One thing that I did was I laid out my show just kind of like an outline or a draft, and it basically allowed me to plan my segments of my show. So, for example, on this, we do the introduction, we do news, we do topics, we're going to talk about listener email, we have time, and then we talk about some tech issues. So the main point here is sequence your show in a methodical way. That way you won't run into issues. Your listeners will be trained in the format in which your show is produced, and they'll come to expect the content in a certain sequence. And we're all creatures of a habit to a certain extent. And if you do make a change to your show, change one thing and then go a couple weeks if you're producing weekly and see how that change affects your flow and how your audience reacts to it.
Yeah, it's nothing worse than, getting a podcast and you hear the host go, "Well, it's time to podcast. What are we going to talk about this week?" And they don't have any idea, and they just start talking. I've probably been guilty of that in the past, but, any show that I pre-plan, which most of them I do that. I have news at the beginning. I have, any tips, because, my particular podcast is also about podcasting, over at podcasthelpdesk.com. But I lay that out. I have, my main topic, news, any feedback from listeners or questions. And, then I do all the calls to action at the very end, and I try to keep it in that order, Yep. And when I change it up, like Todd says, I'll change just one or two things and let it fly for a couple episodes and see what the feedback is on it.
So main thing, sequence your show in a methodical way. We got a question from a fan of the show, and this is from Michael Heron. He says, "Hi, gents. I'm really loving what you're doing with your podcast. I'm already a big fan. Your last episode made me start questioning something I've recently started doing in an effort to get my podcast to as many ears as possible. My podcast lives at MikeyPod.com, MikeyPod.com, which is a self-hosted WordPress site, and I happily use PowerPress. A couple of months ago, I decided to also upload each new episode to SoundCloud and Mixcloud, thinking I am a clever... with my tag, if I am clever with my tagging on those sites, I might get some new listeners who would then follow the link back to my site. Now I'm starting to wonder if this is not such a good idea after all. Do you have any thoughts on this? And am I shooting myself in the foot by taking attention away from my own website? Thank you and keep up the great work. I'm grateful every day. I'm so grateful for everything you all do at Blueberry." Well, the simple answer to the question is no. It's fine to put your show out on as many sites as possible. Where you can, within those sites, you're definitely going to want to try to indicate where Moonbase Alpha is, where home is, where the point of presence of the show is.
Right.
So that's the way.
Don't just get on there and not say in your show where to find your show. Because if you are putting it out to all these other places, who knows where they're listening?
So for this show, we want you to go to powerpresspodcast.com and visit the site so that you'll be able to subscribe to not only this show, your podcast, but also to the actual PowerPress podcast that Mackenzie Bennett does that runs opposite weeks of this show. So sure, go ahead, distribute it, more the merrier, but always make sure you tell the audience, and if on the website it's possible, to link back. Now the challenge over there is, they create an RSS feed for you. I don't know, Mike, is there a way to not have that RSS feed show up on
I believe at SoundCloud in particular, I'm not familiar with Mixcloud, but for SoundCloud in particular, unless you're signed up as a podcaster over there, I don't believe the RSS feed's active. I could be wrong, but it's similar to YouTube. So if you post your show to YouTube, you know, if you're doing a video show or you make an audio out of it or you're using our post to social, just make sure that when you post it there, you have a link back to your website in the comments or the, what do they call that on YouTube? But I think on SoundCloud, you have a spot to write a little post when you post. So make sure there's a link back to your home website in that description.
Yep. So distribution is good, but where you're home base is more important, is as important, and promote the heck out of it.
Right. No, just, no harm in being in every directory you can.
Right. I am. I'm not on SoundCloud though. Kind of not. I don't really care for SoundCloud too much.
Yeah, me either, but.
So, Mike, you got some tech topics.
Yeah. This comes up quite a bit, and it's people that are either rebranding their podcast. So they're changing their website, you know, where their podcast is located, or sometimes it's at the same time, they're switching services. So say they're over on Podcast Garden or, you know, just name one that you know, but you got to do it in a particular order or you're going to lose your subscribers. And there's some sites that you just can't do a 301 redirect, you know, to get your subscribers automatically. So there's some procedures, but the basic thing here, I got a couple steps here. It says keep your site and domain alive for at least 30 days and hopefully longer. If you're just switching domains, leave the old domain up as long as you can. And then, you know, you have to move your media, and you know, that's if you're changing services and not just rebranding. So you want to get your media moved and get the feed going on the new place, hopefully your own website. And then you have to either do a 301 redirect of your old feed to the new feed, and it's best to do the 301 redirect. I know there is an iTunes tag for new feed URL. That's fine and dandy for iTunes. Not all applications and directories follow that. So it's still best to do, you know, a flat-out 301 redirect, and I'll have a link in the show notes on how to do that in most cases. But if they will not 301 redirect you, like Podcast Garden, for instance, Podomatic is another one that won't do it. There's you know, most of them will, but those particular ones won't, and some won't. If they won't, what I like to do is double post. So I get the new feed in the new location going and post the regular shows there. And on the old site, so say, you know, whatever the service is, you upload a special episode, you know, it's the same episode, but at the beginning and at the end of the episode, put something like, hey, we are moving, you know, go over to blahblahblah.com and resubscribe to continue to hear this show. Do that for like 4 episodes, something like that, or a month, however you know, whatever your schedule is. And then you put up a final episode over there and leave that up there as long as you can. Hey, if you're getting this, you know, we've moved, go over to yoursite.com and resubscribe. And that'll ensure you'll get most of the people that are paying attention. That's the problem. You know, not a lot of, you know, sometimes you will lose some because some of them aren't paying attention. And in that case, you didn't really want them as listeners anyway, right?
That's right. But, you know, the thing that's, you know, if you're making this decision 3 days before your hosting expires and you have to renew for a year, a little late. So make this planning. If you're going to be, you know, and we see this all the time, podcasters switch from, you know, mymonkeywrench.com to mymonkeytool.com. You know, they do this all the time because they feel the need to make a little tweak, or maybe they completely rebrand. Sometimes it's polar opposites on what the new domain is, and they're trying to continue to get those subscribers from show number one to come over to show number two. So what Mike has said about having that old site up for as long as possible is good. And of course, we hope you'll move your media to over to our service. And if you're using PowerPress, you can take advantage of the post upload publish. And, you know, when I say that, just remember that really means when you're in your dashboard, you write your post, you upload your media within the dashboard, and you hit publish. So that's the advantage of Blueberry being able to save you a lot of time. And we've got lots of cool things coming down the road this year with updates to PowerPress as well. But talk about that in another show. But Mike, good advice on rebranding or changing your service. And I think you're going to have a link in the show notes that's going to kind of break this down a little deeper, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll definitely have our guides to moving from specific services that we know about, you know. And definitely I'll have the link to doing your 301 redirect. Because like I said, that's the easiest way. That way nobody knows the difference. It just their software automatically starts looking in the new place. And that's ideal. But if you can't do that, there are some procedures that work pretty well.
So a little gossip for you here, Mike, before we wrap the show up. Angela's telling us we're really close on the next level of PowerPress sites.
Yeah, that's going to be great. That way, if you are on one of those cheap hosting plans, you can bring it over to Blueberry and guarantee you won't have a slow feed.
And bring your .com with you.
Exactly.
So we're going to get to start testing this little thing called a template server. It's a template slash plugin server. And basically, it's a system where we test all the plugins. They're going to be utilized on the next level of PowerPress sites and test the templates. And we actually are going to get the keys to the car to actually deploy that into these sites when the customers start. But you and I have two beta sites, so I think we're going to blow some new plugins into our own site, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that'll be great. And what's nice about this is, you know, it's a managed WordPress, so it's not out there in the wild to where, you know, you can't just load up any old thing. We're going to make sure that everything that's available works so that you're not going to have this problem where, hey, I uploaded this plugin and my feed broke. Well, that's you're not going to have that problem. We're going to break it first.
That's right. Level two, our level two service is going to really take it up a notch, and we're excited to be able to bring that to you. So I'm not going to say the exact timeline, but if the devs stay on schedule, which I'm the feeder to the fire, hopefully we'll be making some cool announcements here in the coming weeks. So, Mike, if folks have feedback or questions about the show, how do they reach us?
Just email yourpodcast@blueberry.com, and you can also leave a comment right on the site at powerpresspodcast.com, and we see all of those.
Yeah, and we also want to make sure that you subscribe to both shows, this show and the PowerPress Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Blueberry. We appreciate your time and hanging out with us. If you have a topic you want us to cover, tech-wise or a topic, let us know. We'll be happy to do that for you. But for Mike Dell and myself, thank you so much for hanging out with us on, hey, Mike, I'm hanging out on your podcast.
I think it's your podcast.
I think it's your podcast, but actually it's your podcast. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time here. Bye-bye.